probably in his office thinking about the dream team. Yeah. Good afternoon. It's 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, August 24th, 2011, here in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission, and we are here to have an informal hearing. We have two informal hearings scheduled today. The second starts at 2:30. This one starts at 1:30. They are case numbers PU 11-374 and PU 11-344. It's Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Division of MDU, Williston Area Service Agreement, Public Convenience and Necessity. And then the second case is MDU, Montreal Williams Electric Co-op, Williston Area Service Agreement. And at 2:30, there are a couple of pipeline cases. We'll deal with these first. Why don't we do this? For anyone who's listening in or for our record, we'll all identify ourselves and then ask for any opening comments from my fellow commissioners, and then we'll turn it over to first MDU, the applicant and the PCNN, and then we can deal with the service area agreement. Is this something that we should just take as a consolidated matter? We don't need to separate these into two separate cases. Okay, so we'll deal with them at once then and have the applicants describe them to us. So with that, this is Tony Clark.
Commissioner Brian Culk.
Kevin Kramer, good afternoon. Welcome.
Okay, and from our staff?
Jerry Leon.
And also joining us at the table?
Tammy Eberle with Montana Dakota Utilities.
Ken Callahan with Montana Dakota Utilities.
Dale Haugen with Montreal Williams Electric Cooperative.
And Leah Johnson Ellis, also with Montreal Williams Electric Cooperative.
Very good. And also joining us in the room today is Commission General Counsel Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco. With that, any welcoming comments from my fellow commissioners?
I just don't know how they let you guys out of Williston. I'm impressed. Just welcome. Appreciate the hard work that goes into this. This is the easy part, our part. But we know a lot goes into this, especially during these times when there's actually a lot of territory that needs some developing, isn't there? In fact, I was watching on the CNBC show this morning. They showed this. I don't know if you saw the piece, but they showed this big dirt path that's going to be hundreds of homes and hotels and a mall, and I thought, Williston, that's pretty cool. So anyway, well, welcome.
No, Brian? Same thing, just to thank you for all your work, because it's definitely the forward thinking that was needed up there, so appreciate it.
Okay. With that, I'll turn it over to applicants.
I have with me here today Ken Callahan, our Energy Services Manager, out of the Williston area, and Ken's going to walk through the application for the service area agreement from Montana Dakota's perspective, and then also the PCNN that we've requested that would go along with that service area agreement. We've got some handouts there, and Ken brought the big maps, so we can go through what these guys have put together. So we'll start with Ken, and everyone can.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for taking time today. As everyone knows, we brought the bigger map for people like me when you have older eyes. Williston is seeing a huge deal in economic growth response to the Bakken industry up there. And the result of that was we looked at the service area agreement, and this is the second one that we're entering with Montreal Williams. We did one in Stanley, presented, I think, 2 years ago with you guys. The result is these new infrastructure that was going on, unprecedented growth. And you guys know, because I know all of you have been up there. It led to discussions to talk about a service area agreement. And some of the things that we planned, it was facilitated planning the efficient infrastructure for everybody to avoid duplication of infrastructure. And I think that was key here. A fair and equitable growth for us. And then instead of understanding who... working out the details between Montreal Williams and MDU instead of going in front of the Public Service Commission, which you've had some of those, or in front of the city, and taking it, both parties, it's fair and equitable growth. And I think that was the key point that we discussed together. And it really, your comments earlier are nice, but it really wasn't that hard to work with Dale. Him and his staff are awesome to work with, and it's like a brother. We kind of have the same vision. We've got to take care of our customers, and that's what we looked at first. But some of these discussions as we worked through this is we also looked at outside of Williston area. And I'll just give you a point of, we looked at kind of White Earth, and I just want to make a point. The arrangement of the transfer, which is a separate application that we'll look at later, some of the efficiencies of providing service for our customers, and we look at it all in a big picture. We went down that path. What we did is both companies signed on the service area agreement, and then we took it to the city, and you have a copy of those minutes in front of you on June 14th. Dale and myself were there to present. They approved it, and then we filed it with you guys. You have a copy of your minutes. And then what I would do is I also included this little map. Just this is presented to the city as the city was looking at different infrastructures and annexation sections back in March. And when they did that, the first question, and that's where these service area agreements really come into play, is who's going to get to serve these and where they are and whose infrastructure is where. And I think that's the common sense approach that we've used. So taking this, and if you look at these are all the annexations that were back in March of 2000 of this year. And then what I do is I go to this map here, and you can see that these blue ones are a reflection of what Montreal Williams is going to be annexed in. These are the sections that have been annexed in by Montreal Williams. And you'll notice the other ones are gone. We just absorbed them inside the yellow, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And what we did was we looked at some of the infrastructure, and like on 42nd, Montreal Williams has facilities on the north side of the street. We have it on the south side of the street. That made perfect sense to run our facilities there, and we serve south and they serve north. It really worked well. Same thing going up north. So you can see that Montreal Williams is growing up north, and then we're growing out to somewhere that section line, which is 140 40th Avenue West. And then this is what we're proposing.
Say, Ken, just so in case anybody's listening in, could we have you just here? Yeah, well, or sure. Or bring it over and just use like a microphone.
Okay. Use cordless. There you go. Okay, as I was saying, Montreal Williams is in the blue area, and they're growing north, and they're also going to be growing west. And you can see that the red line that follows this around is the current city limits. And each one of these sections is annexed in now, and they are talking about doing strip annexation, but we don't know it at this time. So what we did was we looked at where fair and equitable growth for MDU and Montreal Williams, and this is what we come up with, an agreement. The agreement, of course, is for 10 years and then renewable every 5 years, and you guys know all that already. But it's pretty plain and simple. You can see where we're going to grow and where they're going to grow.
What was the biggest sticking
point? I think who was going to buy lunch.
So there wasn't one area that jumped out as more controversial than the other? From your viewpoint, probably ask Dale the same question.
No, you look at the big loads, and that's what it's all about, the big loads. And Dale's busy, we're busy. You know, and I think we looked at where our infrastructure is and where their infrastructure is. And I will say, on the western side, Dale was actually looking at redoing one of his lines over there. And he moved that line over a mile west so we could go in there. So if that isn't working, collaborating together, I don't know what is.
Right, and I guess that's probably our bottom line as a commission, is just to make sure that whatever you come up with makes sense for the consumers, right?
Yes.
That it's not duplicating services, we're not ending up checkerboards and things like that. That the sum of it is, you know, makes sense from an economic standpoint. And so examples like that are helpful for the record, so thanks. Yeah. Dale, anything you wanted to add to this?
First of all, thank you, commissioners, for taking your time and looking at this. I want to ditto everything Ken said, but I guess as we go back, I remember when I first moved to Williston in 1980, the MDU regional manager, Joe Branish, had brought me in and definitely had educated me and reminded me of, you know, where would Montreal Williams be without MDU? I mean, we have had a huge, huge agreement called the Interconnection and Common Use Agreement, where we've shared facilities, infrastructure on transmission lines. And I got to say, out of my 31 years being there, we have had such a partner relationship of sitting down and working these details out. And Ken is right. I mean, once Williston had introduced some box stores coming, everything else, we were easily to see of what Montreal Williams had on its plate for mm-hmm. other services, other loads. And I guess history sometimes repeats itself, but I didn't no way wanted Montreal Williams to jeopardize our relationship with MDU and our city commission, and working with our local government entities and with what's going on in Williston with the water infrastructure, sewer, and everything else, the last thing our city needed was to worry about electricity issues. So it was very easy to sit down and present to the city a very successful plan that's going to move Williston forward for many years. I was very proud to have my board pen and ink this agreement with MDU.
So how do your two rates compare? If I'm a business owner, will I be shopping to put my business somewhere? If I'm a customer, I'm put my home. I mean, are we going to have, how's that going to all shake out, do you think?
I think we're almost par right now.
We're comparable. Mm-hmm.
Certainly is nice to have enough demand for everybody to struggle to keep up with, for sure. Are your offices in your territory?
Our offices are in our territory. Okay. We're 1 mile north of Williston.
On the west of the road.
On the north side.
Okay. How's that new basin transmission line doing? Is that all up and running and supporting the regional grid and doing what it's supposed to be doing? It's a little off topic, but.
To answer your question, that Commissioner Clark is, yes, it's up and running, but at part of the infrastructure upgrade, Western Area Power has removed the line from Charlie Creek to Williston, so we're still hanging out as a rebuild project.
Okay.
So we're still hanging out what we call the end of the line consumer. By this winter, we hope that schedules are met and construction is complete, and we'll get our N-2 condition that we so desire out there.
Good. Was that contingent on the basin line getting completed and done? They wouldn't have been able to drop
that is correct.
Down without that, right?
That is correct.
I've been hearing Ron Harper talk about the need for 1,300 megawatts or so to meet the demand. How do you possibly make a business case to do that? Or even approach it, uncertain about what the future holds.
What we did is we prepared a engineering study of a power requirement, and we interviewed all of the stakeholders, the major oil companies, and have brought them in as guest speakers, and realizing that in our service area and the activity that we may see up to 4 wells per section. And that 4 wells per section equals a 30 horsepower motor. And yes, they all might not be Bakken wells. 2 might be Three Forks, 2 might be Mission Canyon, 2 might be Beaver Lodge, 2 might be Madison. They all might not all 4 necessarily be the Bakken formation drilled out. But we took this and we added up every section times the 30 horsepower, equated it to energy and the KVA, KW megawatt, and then we did not allow any expansion for supplemental loads like large pumps, housing, commercial development, because what the wells did not drill or were successful, we felt there was an overlap there. So we sent a resolution to our all power requirements supplier Basin Electric asking for 900 and some megawatts by the year 2025 take or pay. And hopefully the engineering studies that support it come to reality. It's a lot of power.
North Dakota's total summer peak is about 1,000.
That was
right now, right? I mean, that's the.
Yeah.
I think at least if you're to believe the MISO resource adequacy things we get. Remind me again. I've heard that an operating rig is what sort of load, and then what's the ongoing, once the well is there, what's the ongoing load? Do you have a sense?
For us, the actual drilling rig requires no electricity. They're self-contained. They have their own Caterpillar, Cummins diesels generation. Once the well is drilled and they move the completion rig on and start to develop the well, typically we're seeing a 30 kW load. That would include a 60 horsepower motor, lightly loaded, a couple flow pumps, and the treater in initial process, flow pumps.
A few thousand wells here and there, it starts to add up.
Yeah.
That is correct.
And normally, when you think of the wells, you think of outside the city limits, and you would think that the co-ops and the RECs would serve them. I'll go back and tell you that if it makes sense to Marshall Williams, then we'll serve it. And several wells over the last couple of years, they're planning a well, or it doesn't matter what it is, if it logistically looks and makes sense that we're here and it's 4 miles for them and it's a half mile for us, Dale sends the paperwork over and says serve it. We fill out the PCN application and we serve it. So another agreement where it goes back to common sense, keeping it simple, cheaper for the customer. That's the approach that Dale and us are working with, and it really works well.
Can I ask, on the map here, it looks like it must be, I'm going to take a guess and say the Baker Hughes Annex is one that Montrell Williams is going to serve.
Yes.
Is it a situation where the existing area and as well as the Schlumberger? Is it an issue where that existing subdivision is already in Montrell Williams, and so it makes most sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they serve all those as residential and some little light commercial in there, Dale, but mostly residential, right?
South of Baker Hughes, there where you referenced, Commissioner, is all commercial, and then the west side of that existing road there is residential.
Yeah.
And there was all the, and so we didn't have stranded investment of the underground cable and things that were placed in their facilities. And there was no development north of that or east of that. So it just made sense to draw the line there based on the section lines.
How much is your workforce going to change in this same period for both you guys? I would assume it would get bigger.
Yeah, you know, a few years ago we lost some employees and we downsized a little bit, but last year we hired 5 new employees, and I think this year another dozen, just because of the needs up there. And we've got a lot of our contractors, and we utilize people from Glendive, from Dickinson, from Miles City, from Wolf Point, from Williston, even from Bismarck come up for gas and electric, and then we use contractors as well.
So for these pluses for MDU as a whole, or just bringing people from different parts?
No, those on the first part with pluses, and we're looking at, you know, when you bring someone on and you have to put a new truck on, now your yard's not big enough, and that's a good thing. So we're looking at, you know, growing and looking at a different location as well.
How can I ask the franchise in Williston? How does it read? Is it both companies have a franchise? Is it a limited franchise for Montrell Williams? It looks like under the existing city boundaries, it's just that small area north of 42nd, which is within city limits, that is served by Montrell Williams. Is that correct?
I believe that's the airport right there, going around the airport right here you're talking about, which is north of 42nd.
Right.
Yeah. We each have our own separate franchise, and I believe Dale can speak for himself, but we have an unlimited franchise. I believe Dale's going to, once this passes, Dale will go in for a different franchise.
Okay. Yeah, correct. We have a city ordinance number 877, which is a non-exclusive franchise, where both parties in the city commission has to agree. Once the commission makes a final ruling on this hearing, then we will have to reapproach the city for an amendment to ordinance 877. Okay.
And from what you told us earlier, there's a chance that the city could annex wide swaths of land to the north, potentially,
yeah,
and maybe to the west as well?
That is correct.
Okay.
What was your workforce growth, do you think, Dale?
Our workforce has changed from 32 employees to presently 65 employees. And what we do is we look at comparative analysis, otherwise the statistical profiles that the government under USDA puts out. So if you look at co-ops that are going to be 900 megawatts and look comparatively where their workforce is going, we'll be increasing by the hundreds. Right now, joining me is Leah Ellis, who is our new in-house legal counsel, left a firm here in Bismarck to join us. Because we're over 50 employees now, the Family Medical Leave Act, labor issues have changed, new company policies have changed. It has definitely put a new light on Montrell Williams's hiring practices. Housing seems to be the limiting factor for us to grow right now. Engineers are hard to find.
So 250 workers is not out of the question?
Not out of the question. Presently, we have just shy of 300 contract employees working.
To bring new people in, do you pretty much have to line up the housing for them to make it happen?
That is correct. We've set up man camps, 16 by 80 mobile homes, college dormitory beds in them, buying, working with townships on the old schoolhouses, buying those properties, and with an agreement that when we're done, we can turn them back over to the townships for road grader storage or county maintenance equipment if we ever get to that point. So, yes, housing is, you have to provide them for new employees as well as any contractors.
So do you have a nice new home?
No, I live. I'm from Williston. So I'm living with family, though, in the basement, which is it's a big change from
I bet.
What I would say. But you take the, there are a lot of opportunities, so.
Yeah.
It'll catch up. Yep. I mean, the market will catch up.
Yep.
Investment's happening. Well.
Okay. Any other questions on Gary, you had a memo, I believe, and we've talked mostly about the service area agreement. Are there separate questions that we should be asking with regard to the PCNN that make any sense?
No, I think that if you approve the service area agreement, the PCNN follows. So, and it is pretty much the same agreement that we've seen in the past. Few blanks filled in a little bit differently to make it Williston instead of Stanley. And so staff's recommendation is to approve it.
Okay. Any further questions from the commission or from staff? Anyone in the room? Anything further from applicants? Okay. Hearing none, we will close the informal on case numbers PU-11-374 and PU-11-3 4-4. Since we posted it for 2:30, we will come back at 2:30 for our next informal hearings on the Enbridge Pipeline Beaver Lodge Loop Project and Bakken Pipeline Project U.S. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Probably.
You could have a special meeting tomorrow if you want.
I think so. I mean, our next meeting is September 7th, I believe, and I don't think there's a problem with getting it on. I mean, Brian, it's in your portfolio.
No, I was
not holding it, just went to.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I didn't ask the question, though, about the. So are you going to be stealing his workers, or are you going to be stealing your workers? Or?
No, we actually had a.
Where do we find
him? We were concerned that he was going to leave and he wasn't happy. And, I thought he was going to go to Dale. Dale says, you know what? We would not ask for an employee. And if they came to me, we wouldn't take it.
So where do you find these guys? At BLC guys and gals, or all over the country? Or I mean, this is not like there's some skill here.
Paradise, Texas, Kentucky,
yeah.
Power.
Contractors are from all over Oregon. The country.
People are short of work around the country, so
yeah.
They're finding you guys.
But there's no house. That's way back.
Hmm.